The following program is a presentation of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction.
What is that stuff in your closet? What's it worth, and really, what should you do with it? Get the facts and just the facts right now on In the Money. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm David Bluestein.
And I'm Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio.
We're here each Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to provide an insider's view on the world of jewelry, coins, antiques, collectibles, and much more. As owners and operators of the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in Stone Oak, we're on the front line with a finger on the pulse of these markets every single day. As of right now, you have a friend in the business. Yeah, all that stuff that's lying around in your garage, in your attic, in your spare bedroom, the hall closet, and my favorite, in the back of your sock jar. What is that? What's it worth? And really, what should you do with it? Today, we're going to give you the inside story on how to wrap your mind around what to keep and what to throw out. You know, what's to treasure and what's to trash, and what's for the Salvation Army, what's for the garage sale, and what belongs in an auction where tens of thousands of people can compete for it. You know, every day at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, we help people make these decisions. What qualifies us to do this? Why should anybody listen to our opinion? Well, you know, first of all, I alone have 33 years of experience buying and selling almost anything, from the teeniest little diamonds to human bones and artifacts, all the way up to boatloads of merchandise for Walmart and Target and the biggest mass merchandisers in the world. Also, between Adam and I, we have a technical knowledge of science in general and precious metals, diamonds, gemstones, coins, currency, and many categories of collectibles. Really, collectively, for our entire team, it's unmatched anywhere in San Antonio. Also, we have over 160 jewelry and antique auctions conducted in the past 3 years alone. You learn something doing that, folks. Sometimes you can just put the calculator down and speak from the heart and speak from your experience, and you just kind of already know what's going to happen. Also, we really do have a passion to find the hidden value in almost anything, if it's there to begin with, and therein lies the rub. We've developed and codified many rules of thumb that we use every day. But there's 14 of them that we've put into writing. We call them the In the Money Facts of Life. You can find them on the In the Money Radio homepage at inthemoneyradio.com. And we're going to be talking about those today. We want you to understand what we understand. I think when it comes to spreading the knowledge, spreading the love, and spreading the value to everybody in San Antonio, we've got to be on the forefront of that. We really do want you to know the truth. We do nothing behind the curtain. We love to do it right in front of you, and that's what we're doing here on In the Money. In any case, before we jump into that, we do our trivia quiz every week. It's the In the Money trivia quiz, the quiz where you win the answer. And first, as always, let's review last week's quiz. Adam, you have that?
Yes, last week's quiz was another gemstone question. The question is, a significant percentage of this gemstone's weight is water. It's common to apply a black backing to enhance the play of color, and it's the national gemstone of Australia, which produces 97% of the world's supply of this stone. The question is, what is this gemstone? And the answer, of course, is opal. There are many different types of opal, but this week the prize is a 5.5 carat natural boulder opal cabochon in a sterling silver ring. We had three winners this week: Diane Carter, Angela Watson, and Andy Martin. If you are a winner, please come to the Jewelry Exchange and Auction Gallery at 19903 Stone Oak Parkway within the next 30 days and claim your prize. Our gallery is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday evenings for our live auction. For more information, please click the Contact Us tab on our website at jewelryexchangeandauction.com. And now for this week's quiz.
Great. You know, you should know that the United States Mint is a coin factory. There's tools and grease and loud noises and spills all over the place. And really, there's very little attempt to make beautiful, perfect coins there. They're making what they call business strikes. And as long as the coin has never been in anybody's pocket jingling around, it's an uncirculated coin. Even though they'll put it into a bin and pour it into a bag and jam it into rolls and ship it across the country to your bank. You know, the old Morgan silver dollars from 1878 to 1921. These are heavy coins. Each one weighs almost a troy ounce. And they used to mint these and throw them in canvas bags. And big, hairy, smelly guys would lift these things up and throw them onto a horse cart. And they would jiggle them all the way over to the train station where they'd rattle them all the way across the country to your bank. It's a wonder that any of them survived at all. And so you're just not going to find an uncirculated Morgan dollar with no marks whatsoever on it. You're not going to find a Washington quarter in your pocket, even when it came fresh from the bank with no marks on it.
Oh, they call those bag marks, right?
Yeah, bag marks. They're not circulation marks. They're bag marks, but the coin can still be mint state. And in fact, every year, the U.S. Mint makes what they call a mint set, and they give you a business strike, an uncirculated example of each coin that they made that year in different varieties. And none of them are perfect. But there's another manufacturing process for coins that produces perfect or at least near-perfect specimens of the same coins. It's just that they're minted for collectors. They're sharp strikes, struck with extra pressure from specially prepared dies on highly polished metal blanks, and the blanks are called planchets. These coins are made for collectors, and they try to make them perfectly, but it's a coin factory. Nothing comes out perfect. Anyway, this special process produces a special edition of a coin known as what? If you think you know, and you're one of the first three people to email the correct answer to quiz@inthemoneyradio.com, we have a special prize for you. You can submit your answer directly from our homepage at www.inthemoneyradio.com. Then listen to next week's show to see if we read your name on the air. We're going to pick the first three answers that we get, the first three correct answers. And if we do that, you can come claim your prize at the Jewelry Exchange up in Stone Oak within the next 30 days. You can enter as often as you like, but please, only one winner per household per month. We get answers from people who know they're not qualified, but they just want us to know that they know the answer, and that's nice, too. We always like to hear from you. But you can only win once every 30 days. And remember, the email address, quiz@inthemoneyradio.com, quiz@inthemoneyradio.com. Good luck. We hope to hear from you all. Boy, what a week. I mean,
what a week.
I'm exhausted. We're adding people to our team constantly, and we've got to do that again. Last Saturday night, our gallery was packed with live bidders, and online we had over 12,000 people participating. We sold 350 lots in 3.5 hours, totaling over $150,000 in sales. Diamonds, Tiffany, James Avery galore. We sold 7 Rolexes, 20 gold coins, including classic U.S. $10 gold pieces from the 1800s, dozens of silver dollars, and so much more. And tonight,
we sold also a very strange 2 3/4 carat diamond for $1,300.
Yeah,
that was a very weird diamond.
It was a weird diamond. You either loved it or you hated it. And, you know, as with most things, you show it to 12,000 people, someone's going to love it. Although at auction, you need 2 people to love it or else everything sells for $1. But tonight, we're going to do this whole spiel all over again. We have 7 rifles and shotguns. There's Remingtons and what other brands?
Well, there's a Remington 870, Mossberg 500, both 12-gauge shotguns, some Remington rifles. At the James Avery auctions, another 700 pieces of James Avery, plus at least another 100 more at the live auction.
And I saw a lot of unmounted diamonds and gemstones. Adam, are we just going to sell all that merchandise?
There's a big gemstone collection, no reserve. In fact, any of the things I just mentioned, the guns, the diamonds, the gemstones, there's no reserves on any of that. And the James Avery, too, no reserves on any of that.
And for you people interested in coins, I think we have 9 Carson City silver dollars, Morgan dollars, and we have 3 19th century proof coins. Did I just say proof coins? we have 2 shield nickels and a Seated Liberty quarter in proof condition, all certified by NGC or PCGS. I can't remember. Look, it's free to attend. There's no obligation to bid or buy anything. You're guaranteed to find new and estate merchandise 30%, 80% off. the retail prices and maybe more.
And it's also educational and fun. Guarantee you won't you'll see some things you've never seen before.
We have an off-duty uniformed San Antonio police officer at the door. It's going to be a good time. It's a friendly crowd. We're licensed by the state of Texas. Texas license number 16604. We're members of the Better Business Bureau. Free champagne reception begins at 6 o'clock. The auction starts at 7. Look, you can preview or even bid right now online at www.jewelryexchangeandauction.com. That's www.jewelryexchangeandauction.com. But nothing will sell tonight till we start calling bids and sell every item, starting with lot number one. Or, you know, why not come up to the gallery? You don't have to do it online. Come up for the time of your life. I promise you, you're going to enjoy yourself, and certainly there'll be some bargains there. You got to come up and see
us. You'll learn something, too.
Promise it. You know, we've been doing this for a long, long time, buying and selling all sorts of merchandise.
We find ourselves saying the same things over and over and over again.
And we're sick of it. Well, we wanted to put it down in writing. That was the whole idea of doing this radio show. We said, what if we could just say it once and never have to say it again? Well, there's wishful thinking for you. But at least we've got it down, and people can play webcasts and podcasts right from our In the Money Radio .com website. We want people to understand how this works. Not all dealers want you to know the inside story. We do. We love educated customers, because first of all, you're much easier to deal with. We don't have to explain everything. And second of all, when you go someplace else and you sense that they really don't want you to understand the process, you might want to come back to us and deal with
us.
You
know when you're being treated fairly.
Yeah. So we've put together 14 of what we think are the best, what we call the facts of life. And you've got to understand this, and you've heard us talk about this before, but we wanted to do this show and give you some updates and some fresh examples. And because all I know is that all day long in Stone Oak at our gallery on Stone Oak Parkway, we still hear the same old thing, and so we know we haven't reached everybody yet. So we're on this crusade, and we're not going to quit till everybody knows what we know. And we have the In the Money Facts of Life number one: nobody wants your smelly old junk. And of course, there are exceptions to that. I don't mean that some people do want your smelly old junk. I mean, nobody does want smelly old junk. But what we want you to understand is, just because it's old and just because you don't want it anymore doesn't mean that somebody else is going to want it. Last Saturday, a good customer of ours came in with a box of merchandise. And in the box, there were some copper-plated decorative kettles that you might have put into your kitchen as a decoration 10, 20, 30 years ago. And there were some ordinary glasses of different shapes and sizes. And there were some candles. Sports magazines from the 80s and a few football cards from the early 90s. And, Adam turned to me and he says, I'm not going to sell candles, because I'm kind of famous for not wanting to say no to anybody. And Adam's saying, come on, we've got some serious work to do.
Sometimes people will bring us better merchandise, and we want the better merchandise, and we don't want to say no to the lesser merchandise and make them feel like we're cherry picking. And so we'll take the lesser merchandise and just sell it and call it a home decor lot.
But this was a lot all by itself with not too much in there that we thought we could use.
Right.
And we were explaining that to the man who brought it in. He's a good customer of ours. And he says, yeah, but I just want to get rid of it. And I'm thinking, if you just want to get rid of it, why would anybody else want to bid competitively and for the honor of owning it? And then he said, well, I don't really care what it sells for.
It could go for a dollar.
Yeah, it could go for a dollar. We say, yeah, but, you know, if our commission is 30% and we sell it for a dollar and we get 30 cents for putting, 10, 15 minutes of work into it, I mean, it's just not realistic. That was a classic example of merchandise that could have been just gone to the Salvation Army. And, in fact, I think that's what they said. So many people come and say, well, I'll just bring it to the Salvation Army. Well, if in your heart of hearts you feel that it probably belongs at the Salvation Army, you should have brought it there to begin with.
Yeah, when we talk about merchandise, when I ask myself, do I want to sell this at auction? I say, is there something we can hang a hat on? Something special,
right,
we can say about it? Why should somebody bid on it? And if we can't answer that question, then it doesn't belong in the auction.
You know, my grandmother brought it over on the Mayflower, stuck in her bloomers. Well, that's a nice family story, but why would anybody pay for that? There has to be something to it.
Also, like a perfect example, old magazines, the the National Geographic and Life magazines, old clothing and furniture. It's the kind of thing that you really will go for very little at auction, especially if it has old cat hair on it.
And you can always call us. Call us at 210-592-8786 and ask us, talk to us about it.
And fact of life number two, if young people don't want it, then nobody wants it. You know, when we say that, we're trying to make a provocative statement. There are always some counterexamples. But the young people are the ones that are driving the economy. The older people tend to be the people that are liquidating their estates and selling their merchandise. And as more and more of these decorative items and china and crystal and art and things like that come onto the market, there's more of a supply. Young people tend not to be interested in that, and so there's less and less of a demand. The value of everything has to do with supply and demand, and so you do the math. It tends to go for very little at auction.
Yeah, I think I have a classic example of this. If young people don't want it, then nobody wants it. We offered several months back two cartoon cells from actual cartoons. One was from Beanie and Cecil, and the other was The Little Mermaid. And Beanie and Cecil, I mean, you could hear the crickets when I was calling for bids on that. I remember fondly Beanie and Cecil from the 50s, but it was an old cartoon even then, and it was a live puppet show before that. And the fact is we could not get a credible bid on it. Our consignor hadn't authorized us to sell it at the low level that we're getting bids at. But when we got to The Little Mermaid, you think about it, kids who grew up with Little Mermaid are now that age where they have disposable income, and the competition for Little Mermaid was ferocious, and it sold easily past any reserve level, and the lady who bought it was just tickled to have it. And Beanie and Cecil, we gave it back to the consignor, who was not elderly, but a little aged, and she said, well, I'll just hang on to it. For what? Because soon I'm going to be too old to remember what it is.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right. If young people don't want it, then it's not going to be competitively pursued in the marketplace, and you have to wrap your mind around that fact that all that stuff in your china cabinet is becoming worth less and less every year.
But if you like that kind of merchandise, you can pick it up very inexpensively.
It's an opportunity. If you want to build a Hummel collection, now's your big chance.
That's true.
And if you want to sell one, sell it sooner rather than later, because it's going for less and less every year. Facts of life number three. The book doesn't buy anything. You know, the modern version of this axiom is I saw it on eBay for so many dollars. We did an experiment a few weeks ago and put a $1 bill from my wallet on eBay. We asked $1,000 for it and said, gee, it's just like every other dollar bill in your wallet, too. Why should anybody bid on that? And, of course, they didn't. But we were making a point that if you don't search correctly to see what things actually sell for, you don't know what they're worth.
You could come to the conclusion that dollar bills are going for $1,000 on eBay.
I saw it on eBay for $1,000, but it didn't sell for that. The book will tend to give you suggested retail prices. And in the real world, things don't really work like that. Everybody's looking for a deal. You know, even when you look at the prices realized, we are fortunate to have a wonderful relationship with Heritage Auctions in Dallas, the world's biggest auction company. And we don't mind giving them a little bit of advertising because they're so big, they probably don't want to deal with the stuff that you have. I don't know exactly what you have, but they're looking for the really high-end merchandise. They print the prices realized at each of their auctions, but that price includes a 20% buyer's premium that's added to the price, the final sale price, the hammer price, and they keep that 20%. The consignor doesn't get that. And then they take whatever commission rate out of that price that they were able to negotiate with the consignor. So when you see that Heritage sold something for $5,000, the consignor probably got $2,500 to $3,000 for it. So people come in all the time saying, well, I saw it sold on eBay for $1,000. I want $1,000 for mine. No, no, no. Somebody got fees. Somebody got paid to do all that work. And we're no different. We need to get paid for that, too.
Fact of life number four, it's only worth what someone will pay for it. I have a great example here. 2 weeks ago, we sold some merchandise, what we call on our slat wall, some collectible items that we start off the auction with. There was one knife That sold that was bid up to $1,000. It sold for $1,000 at the auction because two people bid it up that high. And right next to it was a Singer, one of the old Singer sewing machines that everybody knows is very collectible and valuable.
Oh, yeah.
That sold for $5. And so when the consigner of the Singer sewing machine was upset, they said, well, you sold it for a lot less than it was worth. I have to point out that it was right next to the $1,000 knife, and all those people that bid up the knife, they saw the sewing machine too, and they only wanted to bid $5 for that.
If it was worth a lot of money, they would have bid a lot of money for it. There's just no other way to look at it. I know that the consigner's disappointed. We don't want to seem heartless and callous about it. Sometimes we're the owner, and we're the ones disappointed.
I hope everything sells for $1 million, because I'm in for a percentage of that, but we have to get realistic.
And it's only worth what someone will pay for it. We're on a crusade, another one of our crusades, against retail jewelry appraisals. You drive your car to the used car dealer. You say, what will you give me for it? He says, I'll sell you a new one for $35,000. You know that doesn't mean your old one's worth $35,000, but people don't seem to understand that about the jewelry appraisals. You will never get what your jewelry is appraised for. You're not supposed to. That's the full price that you pay a retail jeweler with no discounts to make you a brand new one. And your old one is worth a fraction of that. How? What fraction? Show it to a whole bunch of people and find out what they're willing to pay for it. It's only worth what someone will pay for it. And to say I saw it in an antique store and it had a certain price tag on it, oh, come on. My buddy offered me $5,000 for it, but he didn't have the money. That doesn't make it worth $5,000. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I just saw a perfect example of that downtown. I saw a freshwater pearl bracelet with the gold clasp, something that we would gladly sell for $50, $30 to $50 at auction. $695 price tag. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's incredible. We bring in these 18-inch strings of freshwater pearls from China, $2.50 a piece. And you see them all the time in retail jewelry stores, $30, $40, $50, up to $90, $100. Oh, come on. Facts of life, number five. You can get bid, but you can't get asked. Why we don't pay spot? You hear the spot price of gold? We can't pay you spot because spot is the selling price. When we go to sell in big quantities, we get paid less than spot from the refiner. We have to pay you less than what we get. So we can't pay you spot. The fact is when we sell it, we can't sell it to you at spot because spot is the selling price in gold for a 100-ounce bar. If you're buying less than that, you have to pay more than spot. The buying price is the bid price. Our selling price is the asking price. You can get bid, but you can't get ask.
Yeah, we have to pay the rent. We have a gallery in Stone Oak, and that's not free. Also, we have to pay our employees and keep the lights on, so we can't buy merchandise at the same price that we sell it. A lot of people don't seem to understand that, but that's true for anything. Even with coins, where we're working on very small margins. If you were to buy a coin, and turn around and come right back in and sell it to me, I would likely buy it very close to where I sold it, at the same level where I'd sold it.
But not the same price.
But it wouldn't be the same price. I got to make a margin.
And the bid-ask spread, the difference between the buying price and the selling price for a piece of jewelry in a jewelry store, yeah. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, you can get bid, but you just can't get ask.
Fact of life number 6, it takes 2 bidders to make an auction. All the time I hear about people, they come in and offer me some jewelry, for example, just to purchase. And when I make them an offer, they're shocked. They're saying, I just went to another place that offered me half of what you offered. And that's one of the worst case scenarios. Sometimes, usually we're going to be the high bidder. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'm probably going to be the only gold buyer in town that ever said this. I'm not always the high bidder on everything. Sometimes I'm not, but usually I am.
Yeah, no one source always pays the most for everything, not even us. Now, that's truth in advertising. When we sell things at auction, we don't ask for a bid, and the first person who puts up his hand, we say sold. We ask to see if anybody's going to beat him, and we keep going till nobody beats him. Why should you do it any differently? When my wife was ready to sell her T-Bird 2005 Anniversary Edition. She took it over to CarMax. They made an offer of $14,000. We brought it to our gallery. We made a lot number one. I said, I have a bid of 14. Does anyone want to pay 15? Nobody would. I said, sold. And we sold it to CarMax. Why shouldn't you do that? We did the same thing the same week with a Mercedes that the consignor expected $3,500 for, and it went for $7,750. It's worth a try because you don't know who's out there and you don't know what they want to pay until you offer it. It takes two bidders to make an auction, or everything sells for a dollar.
That's the thing. If you're offering us a piece of jewelry or anything, we can make you a cash offer. You can shop it around and pay sell it to the person that offers you the most. Or we can even make it an auction for you. I mean, we're an auction house. We can take it on consignment, sell it for you at the live auction, and work on a commission. That way, we are representing you. We can show it to somewhere between 10 and 25,000 people and get you the highest price.
Yeah, often in San Antonio, people sell merchandise to someone who says, we buy old gold, and then they reconsign it to us. We get a lot of merchandise from other merchants. And so why shouldn't you shop around and maybe get the opportunity to cut out the middleman? We're going to continue with the facts of life in just a moment, but that music means we're up against a hard break. KLUP is about to take you away. We're not going anywhere. We'll be right back with more facts of life. Don't go away. You're listening to In the Money with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction. You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? This week we're going over the 14 facts of life for buying and selling just about anything. We want you to understand what we know, and let's continue with In the Money facts of life number 7. The best is always in demand. Every week we have hundreds of lots of high-end jewelry that we're putting out at auction, and we let people just start bidding. Sometimes the manufacturer or the consignor has put a minimum on the lot of what they're willing to accept, and we do reveal that right before the bidding begins. But when we first post it online, we let people just bid. We let people turn in absentee bids or post it online. And sometimes we'll even see bids of $5 for a platinum ring. Believe me, it never sells for $5 by the time the auction's over. But the high-end merchandise always gets bids. It never goes without bids. The lower-end merchandise, the more common silver jewelry that is too small or too light to merit being an auction lot by itself, we put on our bid board, which is a silent auction that anybody can participate in. And all we ask is that you beat the previous bid by 25 cents. And we start the bidding on the silver jewelry with what the refiner is willing to pay us. And all you have to do is beat the refiner by 25 cents. And if no one beats you by 25 cents, I mean, look, there's not that it's a profitable venture, but people enjoy it.
It's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun. And, you know, every week, lots and lots of pieces on the bid board, silver jewelry, don't get bids at all. Why is that? Plenty of people want the best jewelry, and not that many people want the lower-priced ordinary jewelry. The best is in demand, but not the rest.
Also, a lot of our customers are dealers or investors, and what I see a lot of them doing is buying a lot of low-end merchandise. Because it's inexpensive, and they just want to get a lot of stuff for very little money. And I find that's a big mistake, that if you really want to be a successful dealer or an investor, what you have to do is buy reasonably priced, better merchandise. And the question is, well, what is better, and what's reasonably priced? You're going to need to have some special knowledge. You can't just go in with cold feet.
But you want merchandise that people look at and say, wow, I would like to own that. If you are investing in coins or building coin inventory, you are much better off buying one $100 coin than 10 $10 coins. And you're much better off buying 10 $10 coins than 100 $1 coins, because everyone's going to have those $1 coins. and the demand for them just isn't all that great. I could talk about this for forever, but we're trying to get through all these today.
But one way to get reasonably priced, better merchandise is to come to an auction, or even just come ask us questions. Ask us what's better, what's a reasonable price for this. I promise we're going to tell you the truth about it.
If you ask me, what should I bid for this? I'll tell you. I'll show you some wholesale sheets. We'll talk about previous auction results. But if you come in there like a cowboy and you're not going to ask and you're just too much of a man and you're just going to start sticking your hand up, and you overbid, we're going to let you do that too.
Fact of life number 8, condition matters. Just the other day, I saw a big, impressive, decorative a statue, an urn. And the closer I got to it, I started inspecting it, and I saw that there were little pieces broken off and that the base wasn't quite straight. And the more I looked at it, the less impressed I was, and started talking to the owner, and they were saying how they wanted thousands of dollars for it. And I started pointing out to them, you know, that the piece is very impressive, but when you start considering the condition, why should anybody pay anywhere close to retail for this? When they could go get a new one, go get one that isn't all broken up for just a little more money than you're asking.
Yeah, I remember when I started 30 years ago, we bought worn-out Buffalo nickels for 10 cents each and sold them for 20 cents each. Now, 33 years later, we buy them for 10 cents each and sell them for 20 cents each because they didn't move. But in the meantime, when I was Adam's age, 1981, I had a customer who needed a 1926 S Buffalo nickel, a nice uncirculated San Francisco variety, never could find him one. He was willing to pay several hundred dollars, just never could find the right coin at the right price. Now, an ugly uncirculated version would cost $3,800, about five times the price, and a really nice example, a minimum of $10,000. Condition matters. People go after the nice stuff, and those worn out Buffalo nickels, we'll fill up a bag with a shovel and sell them to you just as fast and cheaply as we can. Condition really does matter. In the Money Facts of Life, number 9, most valuables aren't rare. They're just well marketed. And there's no better example than diamonds. We talk all the time about our grinding wheel being dressed with diamond dust, small melee diamonds, small whatever quality, whatever size, whatever condition diamonds that we just have to get rid of at auction. Everybody I know who's in this business, every jeweler I know, every gold buyer I know, has all these loose diamonds. Many of them haven't paid anything for them, at least we'll pay for them. And how do you get rid of them? You put them in these gem jars and you put them in the auction, just let them sell with no reserve. They got to go somewhere. But give me a nice, high-grade, nice color, nicely cut, really internally clean diamond, and that's going to cost some money. That is valuable because it's rare.
When I get a piece of jewelry, a diamond ring that's missing a very small stone, I have a jeweler I can take it to, and for $15 or $20, he'll put a new stone in there. That $20 covers not only the labor, but the diamond itself. And among dealers, they're just kind of traded like popcorn. On the other side of that, if you look at our website at jewelryexchangeandauction.com, you look at our diamond inventory. We just updated that diamond inventory to include some other inventories of some Israelis, actually, that have a huge diamond inventory. And if you look on there, you'll see in 48 hours, you want a 5-carat diamond? What shape? What kind of quality you want it? I get it for you within 48 hours.
Look, Blue Nile online, they're the low price leaders. In San Antonio, America's Diamonds, the low price leaders. Get a quote from Blue Nile, get a quote from America's Diamonds, and check out our website. All these stones are graded by GIA or EGL, the number 1 and 2 grading certification services in the world. It's not that we're using a different scale than these other guys. And then buy the diamond from the person who gives you the best deal. We've already told you, it's not always us, but you got to take a look because we're doing it differently than other people. Our markups aren't the same. And really, we're just trying to flip merchandise. That's what an auction is all about. I've just got to mention the Franklin Mint and the Bradford Exchange. Never in my life have I been able to get any more than a melt value from anything from the Franklin Mint or the Bradford Exchange. And if it's made out of pewter, well, forget it, because computer's just junk white metal, really, has no real value to it. If the Franklin Mint and the Bradford Exchange thought they could sell a million of something, they made a million of it. How can that be valuable? Everyone who wanted one got one, and it ensures that if you ever want one, there'll be plenty of them around. So don't fall for that. Just because it's well marketed is not a reason to think that it's rare, and only the rare merchandise is going to go up in value.
And fact of life, number 10.
I love this one.
The definition of rare is that you don't have it.
May I repeat that, please? The definition of rare, my friends in Radioland, is you don't have it. of course, there are exceptions.
And again, I always come back to diamonds. Because that's my specialty. I talk to an awful lot of people that come in and they want to show me their diamonds. You know, almost everybody that shows me a diamond, at some point they tell me that their diamond is flawless. And it's gotten to the point now when somebody wants to show me a diamond, before I even look at it, before they even start talking, one of the things I'll tell them is that your diamond is not flawless. I'm psychic. Your diamond is not flawless. And I just did this with a guy the other day. I went through my whole spiel, and finally he went to show me his diamond, and he said, yeah, but mine's flawless. And I looked at it, and it was a very, very low grade. I graded it an I2, which is a very, very low grade. And he was shocked when I told him that his diamond was not flawless. Your diamond is only flawless if you have a GIA certificate saying that it's flawless.
You know, in the coin part of this business, the 1943 bronze cent, until recently only five were known. And I know people who think they had two of the five. I mean, come on. Be hopeful, sure, but, I mean, get real. A gentleman came in, he had five 1970 mint sets, and he knew that three of the five were the small date variety. A gentleman came in with some Japanese coins he'd been holding for 25 years, and he was having trouble identifying the dates on them and thought maybe I could help him. And I took one look, I picked up a magnet, and click, 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 they're all steel. They're all low-grade steel, magnetic counterfeits of the real thing. I mean, what's the Japanese word for gringo?
I can't think of how many $100,000 coins we've been offered. And seen very, very few.
I've bought several of them in Asia because the 1804 U.S. Silver dollar, if you don't like the price at one booth, go to the next booth because he's got two of them and he'll sell them to you cheaper. I mean, a small handful of these were made. These are not real. And yet people come in and they're just hopeful all the time. If you've got one or two or three of them, they're probably the common variety. And they could still be worth money, but it's not what everyone's looking for at the museum.
And we're going to actually stop and take a commercial break. We'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
Hi, this is Adam from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction in San Antonio, introducing our weekday James Avery auctions with 1,000 pieces of estate James Avery jewelry sold to the highest bidder with no minimums or reserves. New and retired designs at up to 80% off. This is a perfect opportunity to stock up on hard-to-find pieces. It's easy to register and bid online right now at jewelryexchangeandauction.com. Auctions start every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evening at 7 o'clock. Also join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. for our live auctions in Stone Oak, featuring even more designer jewelry from Rolex, Tiffany, Pandora, John Hardy, David Yurman, and more, all guaranteed to be authentic. It's all happening at the Jewelry Exchange and Auction, Texas License Number 16604, Member Better Business Bureau. Visit jewelryexchangeandauction.com and join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for In the Money right here on KLUP. James Avery is a registered trademark of James Avery Craftsman Incorporated.
You're back with David and Adam Bluestein from the Jewelry Exchange and Auction on In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, and what do I do with it? I'm kind of giggling. It's the first time I've heard the new James Avery commercial. We've got James Avery, folks. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. How many thousands of pieces would you like to see? You've got to check us out, jewelryexchangeandauction.com. If you like James Avery, if there's someone in your life, if you're thinking of getting ready for Christmas, take a look. We've got James Avery, estate James Avery, at prices you can't find anywhere else.
Actually, I just saw a bunch of pieces selling for under $15. That's charms and pendants, all sorts of different things.
Well, when the bidding's over, if the high bid is $1, if the bidding's $2, we're just going to say sold and go on to the next lot. This is just the real world. We don't care what they're asking for it at Mr. Avery's store, and we don't care what they're asking for it at the pawn shop. Pawn shop, come look at what we have here. You're not going to go back to that pawn shop. Today we're doing In the Money Facts of Life, sharing our knowledge with you about how to buy and sell almost anything. In the Money Facts of Life, number 11, if it says collectible, it's not. If it says collectible, if it's not. If they thought they could sell a million of them, then they made a million of them. You know, the United States proof sets, for so long people have been buying those because they're collectible. And the mint would increase production as the orders increase, so that really everyone who got one, everyone who wanted one got one. Not only that, lots of people I knew, every year they'd buy five, or if they had three grandkids, they'd buy three. And now all the grandkids are coming and saying, I've had these things in my drawer for 30 years. I don't even want these. I don't even know what they are. In 1968, the United States made a proof set, as they do every year, and they sold that proof set for $6. And here it is, 2012. Guess what that 1968 proof set is worth?
What's it worth?
$6. If you said, I want 100 of them, I want 1,000 of them, I want 1,000,000 of them, and I'm willing to pay $6 each, I'd say, will that be cash or credit? Because we'll just go get them. If I put out the word that I could pay $5.50 each, I'd have all those proof sets I want. What kind of investment is that, ladies and gentlemen? It's because everyone knows the proof sets are for collectors and they're collectible. And some people bring in their entire numismatic estate from decades of doing this. And we say, you know what, that 1968 proof set, you know why it's worth $6? It has a 40% silver Kennedy half dollar in it that melts for about $5.
That's true.
Without that Kennedy half dollar, that's a $1-2 proof set.
I recall selling a bunch of these at auction recently, not those proof sets, but the ones that were just copper nickel, and they were actually going for less than face value at
Absolutely. Some point. And we let them go, too, because otherwise I got to pay a high school kid to cut them out of the package.
Smash them open.
That cost me $7.50 an hour. I can't do that. You know, I'm going to take this opportunity, now that we have said the word collectible out loud, to reiterate, because it's one of my missions to educate the world about this, the collectible that ends with I-B-L-E is a noun. It's a thing. A thing is a collectible, I-B-L-E. But the word collectible ending in A-B-L-E is an adjective and describes something. So a Morgan silver dollar can be collectible, but it is a collectible. And it's collectible because it is able to be collected, but it's in the class of merchandise called a collectible, I-B-L-E-S. I think maybe if you're driving around way out in the middle of nowhere and you see a collectibles shop, A-B-L-E-S, maybe you can get some good bargains in there, because I don't know. Maybe they're not up on the latest syntax and the verbiage.
But my favorite example to illustrate this, that if it says collectible, it's not, is Coca-Cola merchandise. Mm. I see this all the time. There is truly collectible Coca-Cola merchandise. It was the things that Coca-Cola manufactured to be used, and it was used and destroyed.
Yeah, trays from the 30s and the 20s in nice condition. They actually are gorgeous, and people do want those. And advertising signs in good condition, they really do want those.
But what makes it collectible is that it's amazing that you have one that isn't totally destroyed, that most of them were used and abused, and that the clocks and the bottles and all that junk that I see now.
A six pack of Coke from the 1988 Olympics, nobody's going to buy that. Yet people are cherishing them, and they're shocked when we're not eager to sell them for them, and then if we do offer to sell them, they go for nothing.
Oh yeah, we sold two big bins full of all this Coca-Cola, modern Coca-Cola collectible merchandise. When I say collectible, I'm doing my air quotes. And the lady was shocked. She said, "Oh, you sold." There were hundreds of dollars in collectibles there, and you sold it for nothing.
But we showed it to somewhere between 10 and 24,000 people, and nobody wanted it. And some of our consigners in that circumstance will say, yeah, they just don't realize what it's worth. Yes, ma'am, you're the only one out of 14,000 people this week who really understand that merchandise. You know, I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, but you got to get real. If you show it to thousands and thousands of people and no one will bid more than a couple bucks, it wasn't worth $10, $50, $100.
Norman Rockwell prints, Precious Moments, Bradford Exchange, or any collector's plates for that matter.
Thomas Kincaid.
I'm lucky to get a dollar a piece for those collector plates. Whenever anybody brings me those, I say, do you skeet shoot? Because we get more value out of them skeet shooting than selling them as a collector piece.
Yeah, if it says collectible, if they claim it's collectible, cherish this because it's a great investment. No, run. Just run.
That's right. Fact of life number 12, if it's not authenticated, it is not authentic. And I think I already mentioned this, but that if you have a very high-grade flawless diamond, it's not flawless unless GIA says so, unless EGL says so,
right.
a reputable grading service. This is true for sports memorabilia, too. All the time we're offered signed sports memorabilia, Babe Ruth and
Lou Gehrig
and other sports greats. And if it doesn't have a certificate of authenticity from a reputable service, even if your father went and had it signed himself, it's the marketplace is going to treat it as if it's not real.
Our friend Ted Ure from Ted's Collectibles here in San Antonio told us that even PSA DNA, which is the sports authentication arm of PCGS, Professional Coin Grading Service, that's all under the umbrella of Collectors Universe, even PSA DNA, which is considered one of the top two or three in the country for authenticating sports memorabilia, admits that they're wrong something like 6% of the time. So anything that you buy out there as authentic sports memorabilia, you have to be aware that one out of 15 times you're going to get a clunker, and that's if it's authenticated by the best.
Wow.
And if it's not authenticated at all, when we say it's that means it's not authentic, we mean that the market will not price it as an authentic piece, and you're just not going to get top dollar for it. And so if you want to send something in and get it authenticated and pay the registered mail fee to get it there and then pay the registration, the authentication fee, and then pay to get the merchandise back by registered mail, and what does that add up to? $30, $40, $50, $60 just to find out you have something that's worth maybe $30, $40, $50, $60. It's a tough gig. Your sports memorabilia or your coin or whatever it is you're getting authenticated better be rare, better be valuable, or people ask me all the time, should I send this in, should I send that in to get it, this coin or that coin, to get it authenticated and graded? I say, why? To get it come back as, you know, circulated, maybe cleaned, and now you have something that's worth $45 and you just spent $60 to do it. Forget it.
We've been here for three years at the Jewelry Exchange, and I sent in one diamond, and we've sent in I don't know how many coins to be graded, but maybe less than five.
It's not worth it. If you're thinking of sending something in, come talk to me. I'm going to save you a fortune. And it'll make perfect sense to you too. In the Money Facts of Life number 13, jewelry is an investment, a very, very bad investment. Tuesday morning, I'm on the phone with a gentleman. He has fancy diamonds for sale, and he wants to come on this show, this our sacred show of the truth, trying to spread the word, spread the gospel of what's real and not what's just good marketing. He wants to come on here and tell our customers, our friends, our listeners, that his diamonds will appreciate 10, 20, 50% over the next 5 years. What a great investment. And I'm not going to say the name of his little company, but look, this jackass wanted us to say that his diamonds are an investment. And what do we say all the time? Jewelry's not, it's an investment. It's just a really bad investment. I said to him, you know that if the market goes up 50% and nobody's willing to buy these stones back for more than a third of what you're selling them for, the people are still going to be underwater after 5 years. They're still going to be losing money. You can't make money investing on diamonds. We see young dudes and dudettes all the time trying to do this. And I say, look, I know crusty old guys in their 60s who've been doing this all their lives who are struggling. You're not going to waltz into this business and make money. It isn't going to happen. You buy jewelry because you like it and you want to wear it. It's not an investment. We had Oscar Bubba Villarreal on the show from the jewelry store, and to his great credit, we asked Oscar on the air, is jewelry an investment? He says, no, it's an expense. It's something you buy because you like it and you enjoy it. People who expect that they're going to get their money back or even make money when they buy jewelry, they're kidding themselves. why would I tell you this if it's not true? Why would Adam and I sit here telling you this? We sell jewelry for a living. It's because it's just true. Buy our jewelry, compete for it, enjoy it, enjoy it. But you bring it back to us the next day after a night out on the town, you can get bid, but you can't get asked. And over time, can you get more than you paid for it? Maybe. I know, over a long period of time, but very, very unlikely. Facebook is an investment, but jewelry is a purchase.
Yeah, it's still a bad investment when you buy jewelry, even from us or even at auction. But we're just working on much smaller buy-sell spreads. So we do have a lot of customers that buy something, enjoy it for a little while, and sell it, and go and back to the auction and buy some more. That we can trade it and buy and sell the same merchandise again and again like that. Fact of life number 14, nobody knows what the markets are going to do. Nobody knows.
That includes me and Adam and everybody you know and you and everybody's father and everybody else.
I have a good example of that. We don't gamble with the company's money when it comes to buying and selling gold and silver. We just work on the margins, but in our personal lives, I've made some long-term investments in gold and silver. I bought some and I'm just going to sit on it. But anything can happen. If it all goes down, I got to be a big boy about it. David made a big personal bet on silver.
You're going to tell mine.
He doesn't want to admit it. But we're on the air. I like to tell you the truth. And he made a big bet at $40 silver, and so he's a little underwater.
Well, with silver at 25, I made a double ETF bet, a double positive leverage derivative type of bet, so that when silver goes from 40 to 25, I'm underwater 70%. Frankly, on $20,000.
So we're on the front lines of this, and no, we do not know what the market is going to do.
Look, a recent analysis of mutual funds, stock brokers, and stock mutual fund managers found what was discovered is that of all the mutual fund analysts, only 20% of them on any given year just beat the S&P 500 index. In other words, you had a 4-to-1. You should just buy the S&P 500 index and don't worry about who's picking and selling and dealing with the stocks. That's better than using a mutual fund manager. And over a 5-year period, only 5% of all mutual fund managers beat the S&P 500, meaning that on a given year, one out of five will beat the average, but over a 5-year period, only one out of 20 will beat the average. And over successive 5-year periods, almost nobody scores in the top. Nobody knows what the market's going to do, not us, not you, nobody. You pay your money and you take your chances. We're out of time for this week. The fastest hour on radio. We'll be back next week at 7 o'clock. If you have questions about anything, call us at the Jewelry Exchange, 210-592-8786, or email your questions to questions@inthemoneyradio.com. We'll answer every single question. We'll answer the better ones on the air. We hope to see you tonight at our live auction at the Jewelry Exchange in Stone Oak, and we hope you'll join us again next week and every week for In the Money, the show that answers the questions, what is it, what's it worth, what do I do with it? Thanks for joining us this morning, folks. Have a great week. Come see us in Stone Oak.